You are listening to Right Back Atcha, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by, he's untouched until you take him on the floor, David Lim. And me, I get what I want. My name is my credit card. Don't hate me because I'm so popular, Joel Babington. All right, no boys past this point, Davo. How are you doing?
So good, JB. I was worried where you were going with the untouched bit. About to get scandalous up in here.
They get a little bit more and more saucy every time, really, don't they?
They do. Forget our mums are listening.
I know. Well, I say it so quickly they hopefully don't understand. Yeah. Although, actually, Davo, my mum, I saw her after our last RVT out. She kept going and she'd had a few little drinks and she kept saying, oh, David and Lim, are you so saucy? I'm shocked. And after about the third time, I went, Wendy, he's a young single gay man in London. He's allowed to go for it. And she went, do you know what? You are right.
I love that. First of all, she calls me David Ann now.
Even in text, everything. It was you getting down to it to, I think, Pussycat Dolls at the RBT. You know, with my favourite, claps to you, Davo, the back bend. Oh, I'd say you were the one with the 6 years dance training.
Oh my God. Yes. I forget sometimes that, yes, your mum might be looking at.
Oh, she loves a little IG story stalked as our win.
Oh, fabulous. But yeah, that was such a fun night out. My highlight was still definitely you and Harry going off to All Stars. Things go bump in the night.
Bump in the night. Popping off as always.
Did you expect for that? Because I actually did not even think Halloween was close, because that's how my brain was. I wasn't even thinking we were like near the end of October. So when that song came on, I was like, oh yeah, of course.
I'm always expecting it, David. I'm always expecting it. But it came up like, because it was Sean DJing, doing a great job. It came up on my Instagram stories. Like, do you want to restory one from years ago? And it was me going, off to RVT at Sean Kitchener, better be playing things that go bump in the night tonight. Oh.
It's like, nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Annual tradition until we are like 67. Yeah.
All right, Dave, there's so much to get into today. I think we should get into it. But before then, listeners, if you are loving what we are doing, hit that subscribe button. Leave us a lovely 5-star review. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. And don't forget to tell a pop-loving friend.
It has been a while, but we are headed back down under for this very special episode today.
I've been stuck in customs.
What's that Australian show with the airport stuff? Border security? Border control?
I've been stuck at border control.
That's exactly what's happened. Look, I always have the best time when we cover an Australian artist on this podcast.
Me too.
Well, especially for this reason, because it sometimes feels like a bit of a cultural exchange that the JB is discovering a homegrown artist that I've loved. We've done Young Divas. We've done Bardo and Scandalous.
Mm. We've sister done, to like, sister.
Sister to sister. Leah Haywood.
Nikki Webster.
Vanessa Amorosi. So we thought it was time to cover another pop legend from Australia. And this is an act that has kind of been on the spreadsheet for a minute, hasn't it, JB? But we had a moment this summer at Mighty Hoopla seeing these girls live for the first time. For us, for the first time.
For me, for the first time. Oh, David, that was an out-of-body experience. I think, and they were on at like, what, 2-3 in the afternoon? That early in the day, I ascended to the higher realm. They got the crowd going. They were incredible. I mean, I think they balanced that world of like pop, rock, and like, I mean, I wouldn't even say B for the girls and the gays. They're part of the community, but also like, when you break it down, you look at them, of course they're going to be bloody amazing at festivals, because that's also part of their world as well, that maybe teeters out of that pop world that we're in, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So they tick so many boxes for us at Right Back Atcha. We are, of course, talking about the Veronicas. JB, the reason why we wanted to do this is because you very rightly pointed out that there is a Record Store Day, Black Friday release of their 2007 album, Hook Me Up, on vinyl this month. I believe for the very first time on vinyl.
David Lim, 29th of November. If you see me at the record stores, guys, don't snatch the last copy out of my hands. I have to have it. It is available on vinyl for the first time outside of Australia.
Any reason's a good reason. We don't need a release to peg to this, but it really did give us a kick up the bum and be like, look, we've seen the Veronicas this summer. As you said, they were incredible at Mighty Hoopla. And it's such a special memory for me as well, because I remember that time of the day that they were on. The sun was so hot.
Beaming.
Like, it was really beaming down. And just seeing everyone go crazy when they did Untouched and so many bangers. Like, it was actually quite breathless the way they did it back to back. I just couldn't. I was like, lucky I didn't need to go to a toilet because there was no breaks.
Oh, no. Piss yourself, mate.
Oh, 2 in the afternoon. It's quite a long day. I mean, lucky I didn't. Held it in, partied on with the Veronicas. But yes, if you guys ever get a chance to see the girls live, if they're ever back in the UK, let's all go. Let's all go support the girls. This act in particular feels very JB. It feels very you.
David Ann, now, did I not text you yesterday? This was basically my identity at the time. I can't believe it wasn't high rotation. Like, I loved Forever and Untouched when they came out. But I just think it just, the timeline was a little bit off, I think, because by the time it had come out here in 2009, I was so all consumed with being an aspiring performer, you know. But when you look back at, like, when Stephanie McIntosh came out here in 2007, I was ready to bunk off my GCSEs and go and see her at Loose Women. But I was a bit more professional and dedicated to my craft a few years on.
Yeah.
And I think I just didn't have the headspace to take anyone on and really, like, deep dive and get obsessed. But it is never too late. And, like, my Veronica stand card is laminated.
Oh, it is laminated. It is fresh. So let's get into the Veronicas, the fabulous Aussie twins, Jess and Lisa Origliasso. I really hope I'm saying the surname right. It's actually dawned on me I never need to say their surnames because it's just Jess and Lisa.
It. Jess and Lisa, the Veronicas.
It's just the Veronicas, yeah. So these girlies have been singing, acting and dancing from a very young age. Now, their parents enrolled them in dance classes from, I think, the age of 4 or 5. And it was actually around this time that they met another Aussie entertainment legend, Courtney Act.
Wow.
They're childhood friends.
Oh, wow. Imagine what all sort of, like, hijinks the three of them would have got up to.
Can you imagine being a teacher of that class? Yeah. How proud you must be. Legends only.
Legends only.
So before they were, quote unquote, discovered and, you know, went on to sign their record deal, they were performing as the twins, managed by their father, Joe. Early on in their teens, they recorded and released music independently under Jess and Lisa. There was also a short stint where they formed a band with two of their mates and they called themselves Teal. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, they've kind of, yeah, etche. Everything changed within a few short years after signing their publishing deal. They were sent off to America, Sweden, the UK, on all these amazing writing sessions with some of pop's best hit makers. We're talking Max Martin.
Amazing.
Billy Steinberg, who's worked with Madonna and Cyndi Lauper. So many incredible A-list pop hit makers. They had over 50 songs already in the back pocket before they signed their record deal.
Wow.
So at the age of 20, the Veronicas signed a $2 million deal with Warner Records in the US, one of the biggest deals in history for an Australian artist.
Wow.
The name The Veronicas, to me, I don't know about you, and I don't know whether this is big in the UK, but I, in Malaysia, loved reading Archie comics. Did they ever make it here in the UK? Were they a thing? Or was it just like a different generation thing?
I only knew of Archie comics when they introduced Kevin Keller, because it was just like news articles, like in a positive way of, like, you know, gay news sites, like, oh, yeah, great, a gay comic, a gay character. And then obviously Riverdale. It wasn't a thing for me, but yeah, listeners, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember it being much of the culture here, but I cannot comment.
It could also be a generational thing. You know, I'm a couple of years older than you, and in Malaysia, I think we were more exposed to American culture. Mm. So I became obsessed with Archie Comics. So when I saw the name The Veronicas, my mind straight away went to Veronica Lodge. Mm. So I didn't even think there was an alternate universe where it was inspired by something else. But I found out this week that it was from the film The Heathers.
Just There's Heathers.
A, yeah. Oh, is it just Heathers?
Yeah.
Heathers. And there's a bit in the film where it goes, are you a Heather? And Winona Ryder's character, Veronica, answers, no, I'm a Veronica. So I think from there they went, oh, okay, that's quite a unique name. Maybe we can be the Veronicas.
Absolutely. And I love it's from that. I mean, look, a lot of our audience were like, this is cult cinema. Heathers, Jawbreaker, Mean Girls, they're the holy trinity of like darkly fun Mean Girl comedies.
They knew their reference, yeah.
Yeah.
So the debut album, The Secret Life Of, went 4 times platinum in Australia, spent a whole year in the top 40 on our ARIA charts, and it won the Veronicas and ARIA Award. This album, JB, was so successful. It had 5 singles. So yeah, as Lisa would say at the time, we were little punk rock emo girls just writing out our little feelings into music, and people were connecting with it. The fabulous Kate DeRouge from Young Divas had a single that was written by the Veronicas.
Faded. Was it Faded?
It was Faded, yeah.
Faded!
Well done! Oh my God! He is a young diva.
Oh,
he knows.
Yeah. Love
he knows.
That song.
That's going to be part of the citizenship test if you ever decide to move to Australia.
Absolutely.
Are you ready to dive into the Hook Me Up era?
Hook me right up, darling. I am ready. So let's kick things off with August 2007 in Australia with the single Hook Me Up, the first single from the Hook Me Up album.
Let me tell you, the first time I heard this song, I was blown away.
You hear this song, and straight away, as soon as it starts, you instantly know this is way more electro than just rock.
And it's such a statement, yeah.
From me, like knowing them, but only really knowing Untouched and Forever, and like bits and pieces, and seeing them live. Like, even I remember seeing them live, I was surprised by how, like, electro-y and dancey it is, because you always just remember these fabulous rocky twin sisters. So even straight away, first hit of this,
it was a vibe switch, yeah. And I think what's interesting is because we had this as a lead single in Australia, but I only just realised that Untouched was actually the lead single for this era outside of Australia, so...
Yeah, you're like... Oh, okay, second single really, really got you, did it? All right, I'm into the lead, but sure.
So interesting. Just to put things in context for you guys, this song was released the same month as Gimme More by Britney. So you can imagine my brain at the time being like, oh my God, this is a new era of pop. We're headed towards a more darker electropop realm. I was excited.
And how old were you in 2007, roughly?
I was I was in uni.
So you are able to, like, go to the club. You're like, get me on the dance floor.
Yes, take me on the floor,
because
literally.
2007, you want to dance. Like, the way we're hitting there, like, electro's arrived in a way that even the girls say in this era, like, it wasn't known of at the time. They had to really push through with it. I was only 16, David. I couldn't even go to the clubs. I just
couldn't
wanted
get to Cuba.
I just wanted to dance. I just wanted to dance. And I had to in the living room.
Yeah, I've got a couple of very fond memories of dancing to this song in the clubs. And it's always like, I don't know why the mental image in my head is the fans. And I just have this memory of myself just like throwing my head back to this song. Who cooked me up?
So shall we talk about the music video, Davo?
Let's get into the music video, because they are not throwing their heads back in the clubs with this one.
The music video is based around a boarding school revolt. Now, this is school uniforms, boys, girls, very sort of segregated, being kept in line.
Right.
Strict teachers, until our girls, Jess and Lisa, decide to sort of like break out. They give you a good like rocky performance in like the dining room, and they're really shaking things up. They were about, I think, about 23, 24 here. So it is quite an interesting thing to be like, yeah, we're going to do a school music video.
Maybe it's also a way of still bridging the gap between the more emo pop aesthetic and vibes of the first album. You know, you don't want to like scare people too much. If the first video with this was them in the clubs in like a sexy little dress, I think it would have been a bit of a shock. But if I may say, I would have loved if half the concept was them at school, and then maybe all the kids are just rebelling and like cutting class, leaving the school, headed to an underground club to watch the Veronicas perform.
The girls could have been at the school, like, secretly handing out flyers. So they're, like, pretending to be really in line. But yeah, they're actually passing the message, little flyers, like, Veronica's show tonight, underground club. Then they're all sneaking out the school. Maybe there's, like, tying up a teacher or something, or, like, the so they can get out.
Are you not just reciting a plot from Centrinians?
No, because this is in Australia. This is Down Under. This is Down Under High, the movie. But no, yeah, I mean, my head is going straight away to Centrinians, Wild Child, that kind of thing. But hey, this, look,
they could have been in Centrinians. I would have loved to have seen
that. The two like Aussie transfer students.
Even looking at the lyrics of this, I'm tired of my life. I feel so in between. I feel like throwing out everything I wear, starting over new, because I'm not even there. You know, a lot of these kind of feelings of being in transition, feeling like an outsider, not fitting in. I also wonder if some of this was maybe indicative of them starting their new life in America. Because this whole album is all done in America. So, you know, this is like new chapter for them, maybe. So maybe there was a little bit of that feeling coming into the music.
When you break down those lyrics like that, this could be a really depressing song, but it isn't.
Yeah. It's just got that feeling of escape. You know, once you hit the chorus, you're like, get me in that car, windows down, top down. I just want to feel the wind in my hair, you know, like, let's go.
Yeah, hook me up, darling. So, Davo, this is written by Jessica and Lisa, along with Shelley Pekin and Greg Wells. Now, did you know the name Shelley Pekin?
I did, because she had a writing credit on the VC, Vitamin C's album.
Right. Well, Shelley also co-wrote What a Girl Wants for Christina Aguilera.
Oh, really?
And Come On Over, Baby for Christina Aguilera. She's written with all our faves. I think we must have spoken about it before, because she co-wrote Bitch by Meredith Brooks.
Oh, that song. Wow.
Yes. So she has been out and about and, you know,
we need to get Shelley on the pod.
Yeah, come on, Shell. Right, Davo. So there's a very notable performance of this song, isn't there?
So the girls performed this at the 2007 ARIA Awards. I love that, again, we're keeping with the school theme. They've got a yellow school bus where they step out of.
I have to ask a quick cultural question. Did you have yellow school buses in Australia, or was that like an American aesthetic visual for the performance? Because we didn't have yellow school buses here.
I think the yellow school bus was an American thing. But
well,
visually,
then it's a strong aesthetic. Yeah, you know what it is straight away.
Exactly. You don't want some regular bus there. It looks like you've put no effort into the performance.
Yeah, imagine if they went and just like a regular bus, be like, oh my God, the Veronicas have no budget. They had to get a bus to the Arias.
They just used the coach that was dropping all the fans outside.
Hey, can we borrow this?
But yes, the girls step off a yellow school bus, went on stage in these kind of school uniform inspired outfits. You know, you got the white shirt, the blazer, and like really cool customized short skirts.
The face of Down Under Rebellion in the 2000s. And absolutely love it. So, Devo, this was also nominated for highest selling single at the ARIAs the following year in 2008. Can we quickly talk about the B-sides, Devo?
Yeah.
So we have two B-sides for this. We have Everything. Now, this song, to me, is absolutely fantastic. And I think it should have been on the album. But listening to it, I wonder if it's a step too rock and not enough electro, that maybe it sounded too first album-y or just didn't fit cohesively with the album.
I think it's like the perfect bridge between album one and album two. So maybe that's why it was good on a B-side, yeah, just to kind of remind people that, hey, we're still the same rocky girls. Like, calm down.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Yeah. Chill out. But yeah, I can't believe I didn't know this song before.
You're here now and that's all that matters. And then the other B-side we have is Insomnia. Now, this is actually going to be on the Record Store Day vinyl as a bonus track. This one, if the other one was too rocky, this one is very electronic and absolutely another banger.
So in a way, when you get this single, you're getting a taster of both worlds that you're going to get with album two, Veronica's, right? So they know what they're doing there. Absolutely brilliant. And I mean, I feel like these girls have so much music that just don't make the cut, or even like before the following eras where they had a period of time where they weren't able to put out music. I think they've always been very prolific. I feel like they must have so much stuff. One of these days we're going to get an anniversary and maybe we'll get stuff out of the vaults for exclusives.
Yeah. You know, look, we're actually only a couple of years away from the 20th anniversary of this. So probably get like Hook Me Up 4-disc edition. Yeah. And I will be like a pig in filth, like, give it to me, girls. I can't sleep most of the time, try to cancel you from my mind. Never liked you that much anyway, like to try to sleep through till Saturday. Can't seem to keep my eyes shut, can't stop to think about what you said to me when I lost you again. So, Devo, Hook Me Up, it debuted at number 5 on the ARIA charts, and it spent 7 weeks in the charts until it hit that coveted spot, number bloody one, mate, their first ever Australian number one. Now, how fantastic is that?
That is so crazy that the other singles weren't number one, because they were all so big and so prominent in our lives, but shout out to Hook Me Up. And also, it just really says that's the appetite for the girls. Like, they're so popular now that, you know, in straight away lead single, no album, new era, everyone's tuned in. And also, you didn't say thank you to me for...
Oh my God, I'm buying it on iTunes. Sorry, David, and I'm sorry, Jess, Lisa, I'm sorry, Australia, I'm sorry. And thank you, David and Liam, for buying it on iTunes.
Get berated when the song doesn't go number one in Australia. Just for once, I want to be given credit.
Well, what week did you buy it?
After the 7th week, the week it went number one.
Obviously. Also, apparently went in at number 2 on the Mexico Airplay chart. So,
okay.
We love that. We love that. Platinum in Australia and still managed to be gold in the US. So that's fantastic, even with no sort of single release or push there. So we love to see it. I think, Devo, we should continue to be hooked up and go into the album Hook Me Up, released in November 2007 in Australia, released across the summer of 2008 in the US and October 2009 here in the UK.
When you think about it like that, it is such a crazy long rollout for this album. Like, it's almost 2 years after it was released in Australia that you guys got it here in the UK. How did this survive in like a downloading era?
They were probably only known to like people tapped in on the internet who, yes, would have downloaded it, but they weren't introduced to a whole
properly,
nation.
Yeah.
So it's, say it was the second album everywhere, because here in the UK it was the first album.
Oh, you didn't even get the first album here?
I think it probably got released like maybe after the fact, but this was their debut album here.
That is crazy. Wow.
So they weren't, you know, no one... I'm sure there were Pop Justice guys tapped in and looking for it, but beyond that, we weren't introduced yet. So I think that's how it survived.
So this is the introduction of the Veronicas in this market. Wow. So look, guys, we are going to get into all that on this episode. And this is the magic of what we do and why we enjoy doing what we do, right? Because we get to compare notes from our years in this era and see what happens. Because this was also like, I don't know, this was just a different time on the internet that you could still get away with not releasing stuff in certain territories and then having those material or those tracks have a moment a couple of years later. So, this is pre-streaming and the kind of globalization of music being so accessible. Love it.
So this album, David, was mainly written by the girls and German songwriter Toby Gad. It was mainly written and recorded in the girls' home in LA. Cut to of how we were a few years ago, everyone was doing that, forced to. But I love at the time, they're like, yeah, it's so stripped back, it's got his little Mac out, and we just jam. But what it did is it took the pressure off of the studio's booked, and you are running up a bill the second you're in there. Yeah. So they could just jam, fill things out, write, record from the comfort of your living room.
And I think that's a wonderful way to work. It's less pressure. And I think maybe off the back of the success of the first album, they've got a bit of investment, you know, just to set things up properly at home with a home studio. Then they can work on their own terms.
So, Davo, we're going to talk about the album. We're going to talk about what a success it was. But before all of that, the label did not want to release this album.
Really? Oh.
So the girls said to Build US 5 years ago that we really believed in the Hook Me Up record that we made. And we had the head of Warner Brothers tell us that he didn't think there was a single hit on the record and he wasn't going to release it. It was then the girls and their management that really pushed for this album to be released.
That is so crazy, because compared to the first album, I think this is really next level. Everything is amped up. The production's better. The songwriting is punchier. I think maybe it doesn't have as many like instant, quote unquote, classic radio hits. But also, as I said, we were on the cusp of things changing in pop music this summer, this year in 2007. You know, we had Timbaland's The Way I Are. We're maybe a year from Katy Perry hitting mainstream. We're pre-Kesha still. By the time we get to like later in this album cycle, we have Lady Gaga. So I think in some ways, this album in 2007 was just on the precipice of being a little too ahead of its time.
Yeah, 100%. Because we had had... and also you got to imagine, when were they playing it to the label? Late 2006, early 2007?
They weren't getting it. There was no one doing it like that.
Britney hadn't had Gimme More yet. What I do think is interesting is this year in 2007, Hilary Duff was in her Dignity era. So she went from rock to electro-pop.
Electro, yeah. So I think, something in the air.
Yeah, to artists and creatives, it was in the air. But people in boardrooms are just going to do what's working.
They're not seeing the market research. They're not seeing the stats yet. So it's still a bit of a risk to do that. And also, it might be a risk if the Veronicas have been successful doing one particular type of sound and, you know, popping up at Nickelodeon, doing... fucking the Kids' Choice Awards, hosting the Kids' Choice Awards with Zac Efron. They're known for that, to suddenly growing up their sound, being a little dancier, a little bit more electro. Maybe that is a bit of a risk. Yeah.
But I'm really glad they did take a risk. You know, we've looked at the lifespan of this album. We're still talking about this album now. It spawned their arguably biggest hit. So let's go for it.
Let's go for it. So obviously there are like lots of singles on this album. We'll get to them in due course.
Loads and loads.
But we're going to talk about album highlights first here. JB, I want you to start. I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Track 3. And we're kicking off the album track strong. Electro, Dance Floor Ready, and still Rocky. This is how it feels. This is how it feels. Do you only want me because you can't have me? Do you only want me because I'm gone? I mean, oof. How did 16-year-old me would have been living for this? Like, never had a relationship. I would have been strutting around like with this.
But I feel like that was when I was my most dramatic, when I wasn't in a relationship and like just trying to channel all these feelings in a pop song. Because that's my favorite kind of songwriting. Anything that's that emotional and dramatic. And as a teenager, you're feeling everything. This is how it feels when you wait for a call that never comes. Are you awake at night because you miss someone? This is how it feels.
Oh, and what I love there, unintentionally, they're like, do you know what? A bunch of baby gays are going to be listening to this, not knowing how it feels. So let's tell them how it feels.
This was instantly one of my favorites when I heard the album. It's super immediate, that racing electro rock sound with a bit of an 80s flavor. Honestly, I was looking at a timeline because I was thinking, who are the rock girlies doing it for us at this time, right? Mm. We love Kelly Clarkson. She was coming out of that breakaway era and she went into My December this even very rockier. Year. She went even rockier. But imagine if Kelly did like an 80s rock thing like this. Oh. It would have just been mind-blowing. Like I still would love to hear a Veronica's and Kelly Clarkson kind of writing sesh, or I don't know if it's
I can't
like
believe
a duet.
That's never happened.
It kind of needs to happen. It would be explosive.
Yeah, we have to have it.
We kind of need the joint tour as well.
Yeah. All right, Davo, what's first standout track for you on the album?
Bloody hell, you've taken mine. So I'm
gonna, sorry.
It's fine, darling. I'm a very generous man. I'll tell you what. Oh, now I'm scrolling. I'm like, Now, this one I didn't really sit up and pay attention to until this episode. I don't know why it passed me by at the time. I think I thought it was a little bit of an oddity on the album, but I'm going to say I Can't Stay Away. This is wrong. I should be gone. You're here all day, 'cause I can't stay away. I thought it was so interesting listening to this song in the context of the album because it kind of doesn't sound like anything else that's on here. It's got that very synth prominent, almost R&B rock fusion. You know, we've got that One Republic and Timbaland collab this year. Apologize. And also we've got Rihanna's Umbrella that comes out this very year as well. So I don't think this song is a million miles away from those moments.
I'm conflicted. Like this could, speaking of Kelly Clarkson, like this could sit on a Kelly Clarkson album easily.
Let's, you know, subtly plant the seed that she does this as a cover on her show. You know how she does that.
Yeah, the girl's surprise come out.
Yeah. Get that TV booking, girls. Yeah. Now, this song, I Can't Stay Away, was released as a radio single in Australia and New Zealand. Now, I actually think it should have gotten a US push. Mm. This feels America ready.
It does, yeah. And like with the good narrative behind it, Josh Alexander and Billy Steinberg, banger.
Now, I was reading that this had comparisons to Tattoo's All About Us, which the Veronicas wrote with these two blokes. Now, this song, I Can't Stay, is one of two songs on the album that the Veronicas didn't write. But we got Josh and Billy on it. So I'm kind of like, okay, did you guys try to like do another version of that tattoo song without the girls? Like, what is this? What is going on?
But if they have worked with them, they probably know them so well, and maybe the girls also wanted to reach out to them because they like what they do. So they know how to write for them well. Let's talk about then, next standout for me. I touched on it on my intro. It's the other promo single from this album.
Oh, okay. I think I know where this is headed. Mr. Popular.
Popular.
Pop. Boys and girls pretend to know.
You're the more R&B, I'm the more rocky. We both love dancey. We have overlaps with all. We love it all. But I think, David, if you ever had a DL Rocky era, I think this would be your song.
You would pitch this as my A&R single. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see it. Like, I think it could have been in the McDonald's Christmas party performance.
Not you bringing up the McDonald's Christmas party. Oh my God, I would never live down that moment. I'm still cringing, like thinking about that.
I love
that.
It. I love it.
It is insane. A couple of years ago on this pod, I said, it must have been when we did our Pussycat Dolls episode. I revealed that for our work Christmas party, I did a performance, a solo performance of Beep by the Pussycat Dolls and Will I Am. I was Nicole and Will I Am. Unbelievable. I should have just done Popular. That would have gone down better.
I mean, yeah, nothing more to say, but now I just see you with like those glasses from the time, you know, like with the lines.
The plastic ones
on.
With the lines, yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
Your hair, and you've got a jacket on, your electro-y, it's all angular. And it's just David Lim, Popular.
Now, JB, this was actually a radio single and a digital download only single in Australia for the Veronicas. They beat me to it. They were like, heard some guy working at McDonald's is trying to release our single. We're not having that.
No. And they know what you're like with that McDonald's promo with getting the songs out there. So, yeah, released 11th of October. And peaked at number 11 on the Australian Airplay chart.
What I found funny about this is I was reading back and Jess was saying about the rap verses. I'm rapping. I'm doing it for all the unrhythmic white chicks in Australia with a really thick Australian accent. But I think this was just so much fun. You know, sassy rap verses. It's hedonistic. It is a little bit cocky. But who doesn't love a bit of that? You know, again, I feel like this was maybe possibly a couple of years ahead of your LMFAOs, your Cobra Starships, your Kesha's. This sounds like a Kesha song.
Yes. Now, I mean, we keep speaking about Kesha. Kesha has a co-write on this album.
She does. We will come to that song a little bit later.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not in a...
different. Well, no, it's kind of adjacent. Yeah.
Because the reason that prompted me, and then I had to quickly look at my notes for a fact before I said this, have they publicly performed together?
That would be absolutely insane. Well, if the Veronicas want to come back for Hoopla next year,
maybe there'll be a little surprise pop out.
They can all come out and do Popular.
I would love, right? Imagine if you're a festival headliner. And there's just all these helicopters circulating and just like a different surprise guest comes down from each one.
Oh, fucking hell. Better not have a fear of heights.
All right, Devo, any more standouts for you?
Can I just give a shout out to... We're going to slow it down, guys. We're going to...
Get the lighters out.
Get the lighters out for this one. Big shout out to the heartbreaking piano ballad, In Another Life.
You know what? But I can't fight anymore for you. And I don't know, maybe we'll be together again sometime. In another life.
this got me in my feels, you know. Oh my God. I mean, talk about some very personal sounding lyrics here about not being able to be with someone because time and life has moved on. Like that kind of longing, that kind of yearning. I was like, oh, this is fucking good songwriting. Okay. Look at this lyrics here. I have known you my whole life. When you were 10, you said you'd make me your wife. And 8 years later, you won me over. Just as I took on the world. Just as I took the world on my shoulders.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of like, yeah, my life is happening now. I don't think I can do this. It's, you're being ripped apart in a sense. But you're meant for each other.
Yeah. And if we're not talking about any bonus tracks, it's a great album closer.
Yeah, there's not that many ballady moments on here, is there?
No, they're electro.
Yeah, it's quite like a confident, like, going out, feeling your oats kind of album.
It's like they found a bottle of poppers between album one and album two. Every track on this album is fantastic. But I want to give a shout out. I have to when I think there is. There's to me, a musical theatre moment. Albeit very rocky, rock opera musical theatre moment. Someone Wake Me Up. The Mutual breakup anthem. All My CDs Are at Your Place. I mean, lyrics hit hard. It just felt like quite strong narrative, which is what made it feel a little bit musical theatre for me. But I only in the best way possible.
I don't think you need to even say that, because these girls are musical theatre girlies. Like, that is their roots. That is their training.
Yeah. So now I'm like, okay, can we write a narrative around this? Can we get like the Hook Me Up musical? Is there a way to weave it all together? I still have your road shed.
Time of High School Musical, aren't we? Because Zac Efron was doing that, the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award co-host. Mm.
It's amazing, actually, that Disney let him do that, that there wasn't an ironclad contract.
Oh, yeah, you're right, actually. Come to think about it. I didn't even think about the whole Disney
overseas, there's a hole in the contract.
We don't know what he's up to down under. There he is in his flip-flops on a red carpet. I was like, wow, very casual, Zac Efron.
He's in Australia. So shall we talk about the artwork for this album, David?
It is so interesting that for you guys here in the UK, this is your introduction and you're seeing like the Veronicas with sexy bangs, long flowy hair, smoky eye, pouty lips, party dresses. You know, it's kind of Topshop girly, Miss Topshop. But this is so not the visuals and aesthetic from the first album era, is it?
No, those are more like your relatable
punky emo-y girls, yeah, from school. But this is party girls, you know, sexy, but still a little bit edgy.
Might bum a cig off you outside the club.
Oh, these girls are definitely bumming a cig off you. And the minute they walk off, they pull out a pack. All bar one, happy hour, let's go. Two for the price of one. That's perfect because there's two of us. Jess, this one's on you. No, Lisa, it's your round.
Happy hour ends in 1 minute. Let's both get two. So this was very well received, Devo. Cameron Adams, friend of the pod, when he was at the Harold Sun. Our cameras gave the album a positive review, stating that this is one twisted, subversive pop album. He also states, which I feel like maybe he would disagree with now. So Cameron, if you're listening, do let us know. It's not as laden with obvious hits as the debut and takes more risks than most young pop stars would. In a word, brash. Now, I'm sure he'd still agree with all of that, but I don't think I'd say laden with obvious hits. There are obvious hits here.
to be honest, JB, I do feel that first album, it was much more immediate. Those singles, you knew that those songs were going to be singles and they were going to be big hits. This one, I think it took me a minute to digest. But also, we've got great reviews here from Enemy, calling it impossibly shiny and accomplished emo pop. In two words, massive fun. So there you go. I love that they call this emo pop, though. I was like, okay, right. What about the boohoo.com dresses?
It's just emo fun. They want to kiss a girl. I know we're not there yet. They want to kiss a boy. At the 2008 ARIA Awards, David, I wasn't there as a special guest, but it was nominated for Highest Selling Album and Best Pop Release, but lost both awards, one to Delta by Delta Goodrum and the other to Lessons to be Learned by Gabriella Chill Me.
Oh, Gabs. What a time.
What a time. I mean, what a time for Australian pop music.
Yeah. A Xenomania album as well. Yeah.
Good on ya.
Good on ya, Gabs.
In Australia, this was certified gold in its first week of release and peaked at number two. It was kept off the top spot by the Eagles. It spent a total of 51 weeks in the top 50. Absolutely huge, Devo. I mean, the number two hit album in Australia. Fan-bloody-tastic. 57 in Canada. 134 in France, 33 in Ireland, 41 in Mexico, 8 in New Zealand, 35 here in the UK, 107 in the US, but number one on the US Hit Seekers albums chart. 2 times platinum in Australia, gold in New Zealand, gold in the US. Global.
Incredible. Oh, you've really whetted my appetite for this Record Store Day release now.
I'll have to fight you for it. Now, let's get to the second single off the album in Australia. The first single off the album, everywhere else in the world. The first single from the Ronicas in some territories.
Wow.
Let's get Untouched.
Feel so untouched and I want you so much that I just can't resist you. It's not enough to say that I miss you. I feel so untouched right now. Need you so much.
I love this horny anthem. This is really... I remember the first time hearing this, I was like, wow, the kind of urgency, the feels, the emotions, just the fun as well. This is a very immediate song.
Infectious.
Infectious, absolutely is.
Me and David were texting about this in the week leading up to the record, and it seems like, to me as an outsider from here and looking at the chart stats, that Forever is arguably the most successful and famous in Australia, but everywhere else in the world, it's Untouched.
Wow. It is actually crazy because this song has 193 million streams on Spotify and Forever has 45 million. That is a huge gap.
It does feel a bit like it is the sequel to Forever musically, like, or the sister or the cousin.
Yeah, I think it hits in a very similar way that it's so immediate. The chorus is really punchy, you know. What I love is like the intro, the slashes of strings. Dun, 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 dun. Like immediately when you hear that, it's like, get the fuck to the dance floor right now. Or if you were in the crowd with us at Mighty Hoopla, the minute that came on, prepare to lose your shit.
Yeah, even when I've been saying to the people this week, oh, what are you recording next? I'm like, oh, we're going to do the Veronicas. They go, da 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 da.
It's so good, isn't it? JB, I don't know about you here or what you guys saw here at the time, but don't remember seeing this CD single. And I don't really remember seeing this artwork picture either. But looking at it now, this is so 2007. Like, this is so of that time, isn't it?
If you don't remember seeing it, it needs to be seen. Yes, it's of the time, but I absolutely love it. The minute there's a phone visual... Don't just hook me up, sign me up.
This was still a time in pop culture where people love to use vintage telephones. And I say vintage, it's just a regular handset telephone with cords.
One pink, one black.
Yeah. The cords are wrapped around the girls. We love a visual with the telephone. Girls Aloud have done it in colder shots. It's a classic look. And I think, Joel, if we ever get to one day doing a press shoot for our podcast.
Got to get some phones. Got to get the landlines in there.
Got to get that. We got to recreate this picture.
Yeah. I mean, we've spoken about this shoot that we'll get to one day. And we're like, who are the duo references? And David's like, H and Claire. And I'm like, what?
This is it. The Veronicas.
Yeah, the Veronicas.
Heavy eyeliner, long fringe, flat ironed.
This, you could circle back to this, Devo.
I can circle back to this look, I feel. You know, It's a little untapped, untouched, some might say, emo side of me.
Yes, absolutely. David, do you have memories of this song in Australia? Or you're saying to you it was the first single, like this didn't eclipse it?
No. This was a big moment in Australia, for sure. It's really also hard for me at this point to kind of, in memory, think about what is pop culturally big and prominent, because I was already deep into the world of community radio at Joy 94.9, and Joy, the gay and lesbian radio station, is a huge supporter of the Veronicas. These girls are always prime time, top of the playlist. And this song was high rotation. Hook Me Up was high rotation. So in the world I was in, this was a huge radio hit.
Oh, I think it was a priority hit on Joy and a priority hit everywhere.
Everywhere in Australia.
Priority play.
Yeah. What are your memories of this song?
It's really hard to say because it's just periphery. But when I look back, I don't understand how it was. Featured on The Hills, Hellcats, 90210. Like, these were things I literally was eating for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Mm.
So I just don't understand how there was a slight disconnect for me. I mean, when we talk about the facts and stats in a minute, wasn't for other people, did extremely well. I'm so glad we're doing this episode because it's taken me that step further to now be a stan. But I've always loved this song. You know, when it's come on, this has been... So it's like if anyone brings up the run, because it's, oh yeah, I love Untouched, love Forever. Don't know much beyond then. Cut to losing my shit at my Hoopla. The girls themselves being the gateway drug for me to be obsessed with the Veronicas. The music they've released recently, absolutely adore. Now here I am. Fight me for this vinyl because I've got to be spinning it.
Yeah, I mean, I love that this has lived on. And do you know what, as well, like listening to this album again in 2024, I think it has aged incredibly well. There's not a lot of things here that don't sound good still. You know what I mean? Like this is, I would go as far as saying this song is a classic. Yeah.
It is a classic. It's a modern Australian classic. Let's get into it. The music video, directed by Anthony Rose, shot in Sydney, Australia, has over 60 million hits on YouTube.
Now, this gothic glam aesthetic, I mean, a lot of the styling and the fashion really takes me back to my uni years. We were all probably shopping at Dangerfield at the time. That kind of teen gothic punk glam. Very the zeitgeist.
Look, we've got the girls and we've got 50 gothic extras, the girls performing to this crowd. And then there's the plot of one of the girls meets a man, flirts with him. Then the other girl meets the man. He thinks they're the same person. Then they realize they've both been flirting with him. And they're basically like, sod this. Blood's thicker than water.
Absolutely. Also, like these music videos, like watching so many of Veronica's music videos in preparation for this episode, the central theme is they're always performing with the band. The narrative is so strong of them is that we're live performers, we're musicians. You're always going to see this until the next video that we talk about, which is something slightly different. But for the most part, they've been very consistent with this live band aesthetic.
The girls performed the song live at the Arias in 2008. They also performed it at the Miss USA pageant in 2009.
Oh, wow.
During the evening gown competition.
So the
girls are performing, and then the contestants are coming out. So it's a 10-minute version.
This is not an easy song to strut to because it's so up tempo. I feel like I'll be racing out. I don't think I can cope in an evening gown with this. But yeah, the girls were really booked and busy at this time, weren't they? Like they were popping up everywhere.
Everywhere. A performance live on T4. And Dave,
here in the UK.
T4 wow. Here in the UK.
Also, Joel, around this time, I feel, was the first time we saw Jess and Lisa start to carve out a little bit of an identity for themselves. One of them would be blonde. I think it was Jess who was blonde in this era. You know, be more of an individual, which is all part of growing up, isn't it?
Exactly.
Finding your way through your 20s. But I love seeing that kind of evolution in their style in this time. You know, they're trying different things, going for more feminine touches, more glamour.
Yeah.
But always still with a bit of a cool rock chick edge.
Yeah. And we're getting some like quiffage as well in this era.
Oh, honey, so much backcombing.
2000s had to have it.
This was a time of backcombing.
And my favorite performance that I saw in research for this was live on the X Factor Australia in 2012 with the top 10 finalists, and they performed a medley of Lolita, the new single at the time, Untouched, and Forever.
Oh, wow. See, when you are a proven hit maker, that is what you can do. You can go on the X Factor, do a medley of your hits, throw in the new single, get the kids to sing along. Job done.
Done. Promo done. See you all at the Arias.
But which camp were you in when it comes to dressing in this time? Because I feel like in 2007, 2008, you either had the more hip-hop infused looks or you've got the more alternative.
I was always trying to dress like the Jonas Brothers, so alternative rock edge. Every colour shirt, shorts, Vans, Converse.
Vans and Converse, definitely. Fingerless gloves, did you get into those?
Oh, no, I wish.
I went through a fingerless glove phase.
I had a vest with like a tiger on it that I was obsessed with.
Oh.
I was like, that's edgy.
I used to do the waistcoats as well. You know, that very emo look.
When I look back, that is my, like, I kind of love everything with like a nostalgic adoration, but the waistcoats I can't get on board with. I think it's because I wore them to death.
I did the waistcoats as well. Did you do the waistcoats with the V-neck t-shirt underneath?
Oh yeah, of course.
And like a statement necklace. It could be like a rosary bead or something, you know. There's always some
whatever
sort of
you
religious...
find in your mum's drawer, you know.
I had so many necklaces in this era. Fingerless gloves, necklaces, hats. Oh my god, I would do the waistcoat with the V-neck shirt and a fedora or like a baker boy hat.
Brilliant.
It was a lot. And skinny jeans, of course.
Always skinnier the better. I mean, look, if you really knew what you were doing, you would buy the skinny jeans from the women's section because they'd be skinnier.
Yeah, even skinnier, which I sometimes did. And, you know, it was tricky because the fly would be short, but we made it work.
We make it work.
Yeah. And you got the Converse on. That was a whole look. And the Veronicas were right in that moment, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So this song, David and Lim, peaked at number 17 on the US Billboard Hot 100.
Oh, wow.
And this song made them the first Australian act since Kylie Ann Minogue's 2001 hit Can't Get You Out of My Head to achieve top 20 single in America.
Wow. Flying the flag for Australia. Love to see it. Get it, girls.
Get it, girls. Number 2 hit in Australia. David, number 8 here. And you think, oh, number 8. Okay, just teetered in the top 10. It was in the top 10 in the UK for 5 weeks.
That is very prominent.
5 weeks in the top 10. I can't understand how I didn't get my stan status then that I have now.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
I don't know what I was thinking. I do not bloody know. Number one in Ireland. It gave the Veronicas their first number one hit outside of Australia.
Shout out Ireland.
I think Australia and Ireland, like, are the rocky territories.
Yeah, I feel like we're kinship, you know? We understand. We get it.
All right, Davo. So on the Australian timeline, that brings us to the end of 2007. So what else was going on for the Veronicas around this time?
So JB, before we wrap up the year 2007, the girls embarked on their Hook Me Up tour around Australia. Now, it's only a 10-date tour, so it's reasonably small, but I guess they're saving themselves for a proper big tour, which would happen in 2009, just a couple of years later. Now, that 2009 tour is called Revenge is Sweeter, and it is their biggest and most extensive tour to date, with over 50 dates, 16 dates around Australia, then they went to North America and more extensively cover that territory before going to the UK. London show seems to be like a Jingle Bell Ball performance in 2009.
Wait, they had a London show as well. What tour was this? Revenge is Sweeter.
Yeah, I wonder if it's that Coco show that we...
Yeah, I think it is.
It's the Coco show, isn't it? Yeah.
Right, David, I'm going to watch this live tour. I'll see you in 2 hours.
He's tapped out. Also, another fun tidbit before we wrap 2007... The girls had a really fun cameo on an episode of Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. On the episode called The Sweet Life Goes to Hollywood. Were you watching Zach and Cody at this time, or was it kind of passed you by?
Oh, it hadn't passed me by because I was obsessed with High School Musical 1, 2 and 3, Camp Rock 1 and 2, all of it. I loved Hannah Montana, Wizards of Waverly Place, Zach and Cody. But I only ever saw them in bits and pieces because I didn't have Sky. Yeah. So I wasn't tapped in every week, but whenever I could see it, I loved it.
Now, when the girls was on the show, they performed an unreleased song called Cry, which they wrote when they were 16. It was a last minute thing because apparently they couldn't get clearance for any of the Veronica's songs. So they were just like, fuck, what do we do? Like, okay, let's just sing this song that's not been published.
Well, when you've got a back catalogue like that, you can, you know?
Yeah, a bit of an exclusive for Zach and Cody there. Also, another fun bit I saw, that year, the girls also released their own clothing line with Target.
Oh my God.
Now, I actually remember this being a thing in Australia. The clothing line is aimed at 7 to 14-year-old girls, and Lisa described the fashion line as, quote, punk princess mixed with rock and roll.
That's me.
That is a bit of the JB, excuse me.
Thank God they didn't sell it here in the UK because I would be trying to make those pieces work for me.
I mean, I'm looking at some of the promotional pictures of their in-store appearances. They did pajamas. They did things like that. I was like, this is cute.
And I had High School Musical bed sheets, so I would have gone for it.
So yeah, I love this idea of them being like kind of punk rock girlies, but also there's like a very pop savvy side to the Veronica's business. You know, they're not above hosting the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. They're not too punk to do a clothing line with Target or appear on Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, you know? Promo, mate.
That is such a good booking for a US market to get across like that.
Yeah, the girls want to be everywhere. They want to be big stars, and they were working for it.
Absolutely. Davo, shall we move into 2008? Next single for the Australian market, This Love, in March, April 2008.
This one was written by Kesha, with Toby Gad.
Wow.
Now, we are maybe at this point over a year before Kesha's uncredited vocals feature on Flo Rida's Right Round. We were definitely quite a bit before TikTok came out, her debut single. So I love that, yeah, this like little bit of Kesha's song is having a moment.
Yeah, look, it's just these, and I it's kind of synergy with the Veronicas in the way if they were writers first. I mean, they are, they'll say to this day they're writers first and foremost, which I absolutely love. But if their industry start was as songwriters, Kesha's cutting her teeth, you know?
Sonically, I love this kind of pop rock sound with a very prominent 80s synth. Again, you know, it really ties in very cohesively with a lot of tracks on the album. I really do feel that kind of 80s energy is really strong here. And also, like, of that time, it was quite cool. Like, we were really referencing the 80s a lot in the kind of mid to late 2000s, for sure.
Isn't it wild that we were hitting that 80s nostalgia then and we're hitting the 2000s nostalgia now?
Yeah, yeah. We've lived through all this. Like, isn't it crazy? We sound like a bunch of old timers, but yeah. Do you know what? We are.
Oh, those were the good old days, listeners. They were. We've built a whole podcast around it. What can we say? Who's to know? It's kind of deemed a bit more personal, this song, in a way. In the music video, they let you look a bit more into their lives. They have their real life partners on it. But it's on a track that they didn't write. I wonder if it was easier to say, okay, I can show a bit more of me in the music video for this because I didn't write it. The partner isn't going to question, did you write any of this about me or what's going on here?
Yeah, it's definitely an anthem for long distance relationships. And we see that in the music video. You know, it's so literal. This video was filmed in Sydney, as you said, with their real life boyfriends at the time. Shows them in the flat separately, leaving their boyfriend's suitcase in hand, out the door, going on their jet set promo trip to America. I assume it's America. Joel, this might mean nothing to you, but one of the girls at the time, can't remember which one, was dating Dean Geyer from Australian Idol.
It was Lisa.
It was Lisa, was it? Oh, well done, Lise. Now, Dean
Go
on, Geyer.
Get yourself a good fella there, Lise.
Dean Geyer, my God. I mean, he was like our Australian Zac Efron.
Oh,
you've seen
really?
This video. You've seen this video, JB. You've got eyes.
Got eyes in me, Ed. Why don't you use them?
He is gorgeous.
I went a bit gayer for Dean Geyer. Do you know what I mean?
A bit, yeah.
Gayer for Geyer. Podcaster spills all.
That's me with my little poster in the Australian Idol audience. Gayer for Geyer.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous.
I think this was also around the time, and we'll get into it a little bit more with the next single, where the Veronicas' personal lives and their dating lives are starting to be a bit more tabloid fodder. So they're reaching that level of celebrity in this year that is a little bit different from the kind of coverage that they used to get. But that's what happens when you're dating Dean Geyer, you know, with his gorgeous, massive biceps in the video. And look at him, like, Skyping her when she's, quote-unquote, away.
They shot this across a week. A week-long shoot, various scenes across Sydney. It's a bit more personal. What I love is it's a look into the girls' lives, their relationships, but also their private plane and their MTV award. This also has a lovely B-side, Don't Say Goodbye, featuring Tanya Doko. Now, Tanya is an artist, songwriter, and lead singer of Bachelor Girl.
She is a very prominent 90s Aussie pop legend from Bachelor Girl. You know, since the kind of Bachelor Girl days, I guess Tanya is more known these days as a songwriter. She's written for Tina Arena, our girl Samantha Jade. She wrote her X Factor winner single,
wow,
What You've Done to Me. And also, she's written a song on Steps' album, What the Future Holds.
Wow.
She's got a writing credit on an album track. Yeah. Get it, Auntie Tan.
So she's like the Australian Kathy Dennis a bit.
A little bit, yeah. Let's
pop
just say
star,
that.
Turned songwriter.
Yeah, but still doing the pop star thing a little.
Oh, You got to. When it's in your bones, you got to. This was a top 10 hit in Australia, peaking at number 10 and 14 in New Zealand. Gold in Australia. Devo, I did want to ask, but just while we're talking about charts, we've seen Untouched as the global push for this album and for the Veronicas. Hook Me Up was at number one. Untouched peaked at number two in Australia. Hook Me Up then kind of got forgotten about internationally.
I actually think if you didn't lead with Hook Me Up as a sort of scene setter, as a sort of buzz single,
then forget about it.
I think then forget about it, because once you already have something like Untouched in, you know, warming up the market, we've got something called Take Me On The Floor on the album, which we'll get to. Now that feels like if you want to do a dance electro banger, how about we go with that one?
Oh, I am ready to be taken on the floor.
That is much more bombastic and in your face. So we're already out the door. We've already got our 2-for-1 cocktails from all bar one.
I want to kiss a girl. I want to kiss a girl. All right, let's go to October 2008 with the next single, Take Me On The Floor.
Da 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 da.
One look at you and I know what you're thinking. Time's a bitch and my heart is sinking down. You turn me inside out. Take me on the floor.
Now this is such a banger. Till this day they included it in their Hoopla set, Devo. I love that it is a priority place in the Veronica's set list to this day. Because to take the words out of your mouth, it is bombastic. It is instantly like, oh my fucking god, let's go. And for a fourth single, I mean, that's when a fourth single is that good, is that it has to have that oomph to it, doesn't it?
It does have a little something zesty about it. And the very prominent memory I have of this song is that it was used in the promo for Dancing with the Stars in Australia.
Wow.
I just remember seeing all the ads and being like, oh, is there a new Veronica's song? And then, of course, before I knew it, it was playlisted on Joy 94.9, high rotation as always. We're always supporting the girlies. Oh, it's so interesting looking at the timeline. Because by now, by the time this single comes around, we already have Lady Gaga. Just Dance and Poker Face was already making waves. So some of the press, some of the reviews were like, oh, you know, it kind of is a little bit similar. It taps into what Lady Gaga's doing. It's like, no. The girls were already doing this.
Yeah,
this
the was album already, was out, hun.
Yeah, this is already on the album. But it's so interesting that culture kind of caught up to this moment.
Controversial is the wrong word, because it is cheeky. Absolutely not controversial. Cheeky is the right word. I want to kiss a girl. I want to kiss a girl. I want to kiss a boy. It's just about being on the dance floor, having a drink and like just wanting to have a kiss, you know?
This was probably the first time lyrically the Veronicas have leaned into queerness. And also looking at the timeline of things, Jess at this time was dating Ruby Rose, a pretty well-known Aussie presenter and actress. Now, this was fucking huge tabloid news at the time. And I think sometimes, you know, it's a really hard line because people can be like, oh, you know, you're doing it for attention, this and that. It's like, but you're also young and you're in love and you're not gonna just stay at home, you know? You're young, you're fabulous, you're gorgeous.
Gorgeous and famous, you know?
Exactly. You're getting invited to these parties with an open bar. You're not gonna stay home. Come on, hon.
No, you're gonna say, take me on the bloody floor. So the video is giving fourth Saturday single in the best way. Now, David, watching this, I was thinking, if there was like a Becoming the Saturdays reality TV show, this music video would be like the final challenge of the TV show. Now, this is all said in the highest compliment ways, in the highest complimentary ways. But just those shots with the multicolor light poles.
Love it.
It is. I love it. It is like electropop of the time and of now. If anyone's got any knocking about,
yeah,
I'll do a quick vid with them.
we need the fluorescent tube lights. It's giving the Saturdays Not Giving Up, but also Kelly Rowland's work. Do you remember that video with all the dancers?
How could I forget? Yes, Untouched is like a punk rock gothy look. There are things that you could think, oh yeah, it's stereotypical. But then when you look at the videos, they give you so many different looks, vibes, narratives throughout the whole campaign. And I think that should really be celebrated and applauded. So, Davo, there was also, and they did not need it whatsoever, but there was also an international version of this music video, which was a live performance from the Revenge's Sweeter tour. But when you've got a video this good, why mix it up?
I mean, the song is called Take Me on the Floor, not Take Me to a Gig.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the dance floor.
Yeah. Too sweet, please. So you sent me, very interestingly, Davo, an alternate mix or a feature creature version of this song, shall we say.
I was shocked, guys.
Yeah, talk about of the time.
There is a Pitbull remix of this song. The Veronicas featuring Pitbull is not any words I ever thought I would see together. Like, this shocked me. I hit play on it. I was like, it's not even like, oh, they've just slapped his verse onto the track. It's a proper remix. The beat is different. It's a little bit more amped up. But what a time. You know, this was about 2 years before Pitbull was on every single remix ever.
Touch. Baby, you killing me softly, taking me to the flow. Love is a battlefield, but I'm addicted. I want some more. Now, baby, give me what I want.
Some fabulous performances of this single, Davo. They performed it on So You Think You Can Dance in the US, hosted by our girl Kat Deely. Here in London, Davo, they performed it on the Capital FM live session. So it's like Capital's answer to Live Lounge.
Oh, bring that back, please. Yeah.
Fab performance.
No Strictly.
No, it's part of the family. It should have been, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should have.
Take me
nice.
On the floor and the dancers coming out. Da, 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 da.
Fluorescent light tubes.
Yeah.
Joel Babington in the background. Da, da,
da. I want to kiss a girl. So number 7 hit in Australia. Thank you, Davo.
This is the 4th consecutive top 10 single from this album.
54 in Canada, 11 in the Czech Republic, 29 in New Zealand, 81 on the US Billboard Hot 100. That is absolutely fantastic. And 73 on the US Pop 100. Gold in Australia.
Huge. Bloody huge.
Bloody, bloody huge. So, Davo, they wrapped up 2008 by hosting the Z100 Jingle Ball with Ashley Tisdale.
Wow. Great American booking.
And down under, they hosted MTV's New Year's Eve party with Miley Cyrus.
That is incredible.
Like, how huge is that?
They were booked and busy. Because, you know, if we can't get you on for a performance slot, can we pivot to a hosting gig or vice versa? Like, the girls are prepared, you know? They are ready for this industry. They can do whatever.
Let's wrap up this album cycle. So in September 2009, here in the UK, the Veronicas are launching, and their second single is Forever, which to you in Australia, you've had since August 2005.
I know. It's been like over 4 years that we've had this song. We know this song inside out, but I love that here in the UK, second album cycle, let's whip out this very big, almost evergreen. I guess it would be evergreen still. It still sounds incredible.
Yeah. It was also released as a single around this time in Australia. It's a brand new 2009 version.
Oh, okay.
For the music video and for the single release. I think, and look, Veronica Stans hooked me up, but I think when you listen to it, the bonus track on the album, at least what's on streaming, sounds like the 2005 version to me. Because when you watch the music video, you can hear that slight difference in the vocals. but I also might just be losing the plot by overanalyzing it all. On the 2009 version, Jess said, "Since recording Forever, the band has progressed, so we wanted to update the song. We wanted to record more guitars and new vocals to bring the sound up to how it sounds when we perform it live."
Incredible.
Good on you, girls. And our very own Live Laugh Levine Devo of Digital Spy at the time, he called the song an absolute smash. And also, like, this is such a brilliant song. Like, I'm glad that it's getting a global push. Like, I'm glad it has the opportunity to be big here as well. And not.
I'll tell you what, I'm bloody happy that we got to do it as part of this episode. I thought, oh, you know, we're not going to cross
miss over out on Forever.
No. The JB was like, we're going to do this. I'm like, that is ruining the plans and the research.
Yeah, tell you, guys, I did not get a warm response to that.
Excuse me.
It's part of the album cycle, Dave. I don't know what to tell you.
Not for me, it's not.
At least for me. Bring it up with girls.
So, yes, yeah, September 2009, as this single was coming out, the girls were also in London to play a gig at Coco. This, I believe, was their very first headline show here in the UK.
This was performed on the Hollyoaks music show, Dave, in 2009.
This is even better than Steph McIntosh on Loose Women.
Yeah. I should have got myself up there, down the dog and duck. Do you remember this being released in Australia, David, and it kind of being everywhere and that feeling?
Yeah, this was my introduction to the Veronicas, and it will always be synonymous with summer. I think it was like summer when school's almost out. It just has like a very late in the school year kind of feeling for me.
Mm.
Here we are. Australia, we've delivered with these girls that are like destined to be international superstars. Like, you could just tell from this first single, it's like these girls are going to be absolutely huge.
So, Devo, there's not one, there's not two, there's three music videos for this.
Oh my God, the credits go on forever.
Forever. That's the musical theatre version. Come on, baby, we ain't gonna live forever. Show me all the things that we can do.
Kimberly Walsh has entered the chat. We are in the London Palladium.
Girls, did I hear you were doing a Veronica's musical? Because I'd love to put myself forward for that. I see myself as both a Jess and a Lisa, so it's really up to you who you cast me as. So, Devo, let's whiz through these quickly. The original Australian music video, it shows the girls shot around Sun Valley in LA. The music video is set at night and it shows them sort of hanging out with friends at a pool. It's giving kind of like naughty nighttime girlies. And I really like this version. Then there's the US version, and this in 2005, and this shows the girls in various rooms of a hotel driving their car. Whenever you see a VT of Veronica's, it kind of shows this car shot of them driving around.
Yeah.
And even though this was the US version, Devo, apparently it quickly kind of overtook. And once it was made, it kind of became the prominent version in Australia as well. And in this video, we see a shot of black and white checkered vans. And in the mid-2000s, maybe a little bit later than this, 2006, 2007, I desperately wanted a black and white pair of checkered vans. And I never got
that one. That was the culture. That was the fashion item.
I was like, you know, when you're like, if I only had those shoes, like my life would be complete.
Taken from JB the musical, yeah.
I really need those shoes. And then in 2009, we have the UK version, Devo. So this
is, my God.
This is directed by photographer Kenneth Capillo. And all these names that we butcher on this, I do apologise. This shows the girls performing at a band at a wild house party while wrecking the house. Using the updated version of the song, classic Veronica's Rocky House Party, but we got red cups for very international vibes. Did you have red cups in Australia, or was that just an American thing?
It feels like a very American thing, yeah.
Where's the 2024 version, girls?
We're available to be in it.
I bet, and I hope, we're going to have a 20th anniversary version next year. We could just be like the friends in the back of the car.
And on the JB's rider and his request for the shoot is you put him in those black and white checkered vans.
Yeah.
Make his dreams come true, finally. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about chart positions for Forever.
I mean, this song was number two in Australia in its peak and prime.
This song debuted on the UK single charts at 197. And then the next week, it shot all the way up and peaked at number 17. Island peaked at number 20. I mean, come on, guys, you made the last one a number one hit. You could have got this a little bit higher. But what we absolutely love to see, our friends, and they may have been a bit quiet this episode, but they are ending brilliantly, number 7 on the Scottish charts.
Just such a wonderful reminder of what a powerful, strong 2-album back-to-back era the girls had at this time. And they really, really made their mark in the noughties, you know. They really captured a moment with that kind of rock synergy moving into more electro, pop, but always still, at the core of it, like, these girls are phenomenal songwriters. Any album of the Veronicas you can listen to. There's 6 albums. They're all top 10 success stories in Australia. It's full of great songwriting. That's something the girls never let up on.
Whilst I hope you've loved our journey, and I hope that David's really convinced you there with that lovely little speech, do make sure I've picked up a copy of this vinyl before you snatch it, all right?
Yes. Check with the JB first.
I don't want us to do too good a job here.
Just make sure if you see this vinyl to tag us and be like, Joel, are you sorted?
Yeah.
You're right, mate.
You got it. Yeah. And I'll be like, yes, I've been up since 5 a.m.
Imagine if we get like hundreds of messages and be like, just checking you've got this, Joel.
I'd love that.
Yes!
You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. Hit subscribe, leave us a lovely 5-star review. Follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@lovelimmy.
We'll see you on the floor, and we'll be untouched. Bye.
Speak for yourself.
He'll be touched. Bye.